This is one of my favorite times of year as far as when I was serving full-time, mostly in youth ministry. We celebrate a lot of graduations. There was, I think, four this past week, three? I can't count very well. We had several seniors from Chinese Christian School, from Piedmont High School, what was that school we went to on Saturday? Foothill High School and Monta Vista High School, and also next week there's still one more. We have a senior who's graduating from Mission San Jose as well. And so graduations are a lot of fun because we get to celebrate as young people move from one stage of life into a new season. And so that's a great time. And I think about it's been a while since I've been in any type of graduation, but I'm thinking back to my own high school graduation and trying to imagine what's the worst possible thing that students worry about when you're at your own graduation ceremony. And for some people, if you have to give a speech, maybe that's pretty intimidating. But for the average person, most of us aren't salutatorians or valedictorians, so we don't have to give a speech. I can imagine, I remember when I was a kid, but that day of my graduation, the one thing I didn't want to do was a trip as you're walking across the stage, right? You want to make sure that your gown isn't too long and that you don't do anything dumb and anything ridiculous. And I didn't ask permission, so I'm not going to share this person's name, but on Friday, we went to one high school graduation, several of us, and there was one student who'd been recently coming to our church. and as he was, fortunately, he was able to walk across the stage, no problem. He received his diploma, shook the hands, gave hugs to various teachers, and as he was doing that kind of long walk as they marched down the aisle and back to the seat so that, all the families and parents can see and be proud of this person and give them applause. And I don't think this young person realized that there was such a large contingent of people from church there that were going to cheer for them. And so they started yelling out this person's name at the top of their lungs. And I really want to yell it, but I can't. So we'll say Ben instead. So they shouted at the top of their lungs, Ben! And then this person, as they were walking along, very proud and regal in their nice, beautiful robe and nice graduation cap, carrying their diploma, looked over for a split second as they're walking in front of everybody. And as they looked over, looking behind their shoulder to see where's all that noise coming from, whoop! There's a brief moment where they went flying, and it was quite embarrassing for that person. And so I applaud that person because he lived my worst nightmare in public. That's the problem, isn't it? Often, as we move on to a new journey, as we're moving from one stage to the next, it's easy to get distracted, and it's easy to fall off the path that we were trying to take. You see, as we go through change, we sometimes get caught by surprise by the things around us in life, and it can happen just like that you get derailed from the path that you're on. Last week, we discovered how Jesus calls us to move beyond our safe places into new seasons by rooting out yesterday's issues, dealing with yesterday's issues in order to make us ready for change. But today, we're going to see how Jesus prepares us for not just yesterday's issues, but tomorrow's obstacles, as we travel down our roads of change, personally, in our own lives, and also together as a church. But before we look into God's Word, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we look to you this morning, that we don't deal with the changes in our lives, the transitions, through human effort, through human wisdom. But we recognize that you are the God who wants to lead us down new paths, that as we journey along this walk, it's not just about what we think is right, but we want to look into your word and ask that this morning, would you speak to us very personally? That would be more than just 12 steps to a happier, healthier life, but we want to know personally what it looks like to live the kind of life that you call us to experience your best in our lives, to join you on the adventure that you're taking us. And so, Father, would you give us wisdom this morning? Would you challenge our minds and our hearts? Would you transform our spirits? In Jesus' name, amen. If you have a Bible, you can turn to John chapter 21. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. John chapter 21, we're going to look at verses 18 through 22. Let me give you a little bit of background and context. This is the third appearance of Jesus after his crucifixion and resurrection. But this is the first time that Peter and Jesus have this personal conversation since Christ's death. Now I want you to imagine in your mind that you're Peter. You're excited to see your best friend. but you're also shamed with the memory that the last time that you had a personal moment with your very best friend, this man whom you love deeply, that you betrayed him 3 times. And in fact, in Luke chapter 22, it tells us a different account that at the moment of Peter's third denial of Christ, that Jesus turns and looks him directly in the eye, knowingly, and Peter wept bitterly. And so what we're dealing with here this morning is Jesus taking Peter aside for this intimate, private moment, a personal conversation between the two of them. And you remember we talked about last week that after Jesus restores Peter by dealing with his past issue, he gives him a new calling. He calls him into a new season, a change, a new direction to feed his sheep. And now he's ready to deal with how do I actually move forward into that. It's kind of a tough time for Peter because I want you to imagine, put yourself in his place very soon. The person who leads them, his best friend, but the one, more importantly, who leads this whole group of guys and men and women is going to be gone. And Peter has to face this new calling by himself. He has to take care of Jesus' sheep. So you think Peter might be a little intimidated by the future? Maybe a little bit. For us as well, as we move into new seasons of our lives, new transitions, new changes, maybe experiencing new calling personally, or together as a family in Christ, the question that we need to ask ourselves today is, how do I move forward? And so that takes us to John chapter 21, as Jesus not only roots out yesterday's issues and deals with that with Peter, but prepares him to move forward by showing him some of the obstacles ahead. Look at John chapter 21, verses 18 through 22. Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, Peter, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus in the supper and had said, "Lord, who's going to betray you?" That's John, by the way. When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" And Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." After Jesus deals with Peter's past and points him into this new direction, Jesus' response to him is, "Follow me." And I believe that's the key this morning to moving forward into new seasons. I want to take a look at that word, follow. It doesn't always do it justice when we read it simply in the English translation, but there's this beautiful Greek word that means akolotheo. What it literally means is when in union with, it's kind of two words kind of smushed together, in union with, joined to, together with. And the second word is the way, the road. And so the picture that this word gives us is that you are so in tune with someone that you kind of walk in step with them. You're in union with their way, with their road. And it's interesting because in the Bible, in the New Testament, they also use this word to describe what it means to become a disciple. And so there's this picture of maybe in your mind, you remember when you were a little kid, or maybe you watched some of the little kids running around in church. I don't know if they still play this kind of game, but when I was little, I used to play a game called Follow the Leader. And it's kind of an annoying game, because especially if you're an adult and a kid is playing with you, because basically what children do is they follow you everywhere you go and mimic your every action and say, when you say something, stop copying me. And that's what Follow the Leader looks like. But the point of the game is, if I step on this stone over here, that the kid who's playing Follow the Leader must also step on that stone. And so we walk in step with each other. That's the picture of this word, akolotheo, follow. To imitate someone by literally walking in the footsteps of the person that you're following. You see, when we talk about the word follow, it's always an issue of surrender. And what I mean by that is, when you are following someone, you are giving up your right to determine your own way. And instead, you're following their way. And in Christ's case, when he asks us to follow him, we give up the right to determine our own way and instead walk in his steps, following his road. So to move forward into change, when you yourself, maybe you're going through a transition, maybe you're changing jobs, maybe you're going on to a different schooling or different educational process. Maybe things are changing in your relationship with someone. When we move forward into change, it's not accomplished by trying harder. It's not accomplished by, in Peter's case, if I'm supposed to go into this new calling of feeding Jesus' sheep, it's not accomplished by trying to buy more grain so I can feed the sheep better. It's not by being more clever. It's not by having more financial security. It's not accomplished by more education. But when God says it's time to go into a new season, He asks us to fix our eyes on Christ, to see where He walks, to walk in His steps. Follow me. And so like Peter, as we also move into seasons of change, we can move forward into the season that God is calling us by surrendering ourselves to Christ, by following Him. And surrendering of ourselves, that's kind of like a, you know, a nice Christian-y term that many of us are familiar with. But when we look at it more deeply, the picture that I want you to have in your mind of following, of surrendering yourself to Christ, involves giving up your rights, laying them down, like we sang in that song this morning, at the feet of Christ, saying that you are God and I am not. And where you lead, I'll follow. If surrender is going down Jesus' path and walking in His steps, you look at Jesus and you see a man, a God, who has a trusting, deep intimacy with His own Father. He has deep relationships with the people around Him. You see a man who lives out the Word of God, who lives out this kingdom way. And we see this man, God, who suffers hardship for the sake of His Father and for the people around Him. But in His eyes is worth every tear, every drop of sweat and blood. That's what it means to walk in Jesus' footsteps, to follow Him. Surrender is not just where you walk, but how you walk. Your lifestyle and the way we live. And so we have to look at what does it look like to imitate Christ, to be in union with Him, to walk in step with the Master. And I believe in this passage, Jesus reveals three very specific obstacles ahead for Peter, but from which we too can learn from and learn to surrender as we learn to move forward in our own areas of change. As you look at verse 18, the first thing that Jesus does is He warns Peter. If you're going to move into this new season, this new calling, there's going to be circumstances that are beyond your control, that are going to take, seize, and wrest control out of your own hands. Before, Peter is the type of guy who made his own decisions and is kind of characterized by his personality. If you know anything about the New Testament, Peter is a man who's full of impulsiveness. He's full of passion. He's a person full of willfulness. And we remember, I mentioned last week, that as a young man, when Jesus comes walking on water and calls out to Peter, this young man steps out onto the raging sea to be close to his friend Jesus. He's the one who is favored as the very first to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He boldly proclaims when Jesus predicts His death and everyone's going to be scattered, He boldly proclaims that maybe everyone else will fail you, but not me. I won't fall away. This impulsive, passionate young man. And in the face of overwhelming number of guards in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus is arrested, he defiantly lashes out with a sword and cuts off the ear of somebody sitting next to him because he wants to defend his best friend. And in fact, in this same chapter, in verse 7, when Jesus is sitting there on the shore preparing a breakfast for them, and the disciples are out kind of fishing in their safe place, in their comfort zone, and they realize that's Jesus. While the rest of the guys paddle back, He leaps over the side of the boat fully clothed because He's so excited to see His best friend. That passion and willfulness to determine His own direction. But at this point in verse 18, there's kind of rumbling of a different Peter. We see a humbled man whose arrogance and stubbornness has been tempered because in verses 15 through 17, he's been facing the painful issue, painful but necessary process with Jesus of dealing with his past issues and his mistakes. He's seen how easily his impulsiveness, his willfulness, his self-determination can fail himself and fail Jesus as well. So when Jesus shares his thoughts with Peter about at some point, as you get older, you're going to be dressed by someone else. You're going to be led by others where you don't want to go. What we see happening here is Jesus brings to the surface an issue of power. Who's the leader of your life? Who's in control? If you're going to continue and follow me, Jesus is saying to Peter, I want you to deal with the question, what's going to happen when you're not in charge of your own life? You see, I don't know about you, but for myself, I waste a lot of time and energy trying to control my life situation and circumstances. And I'm sure that you do the same. We try to form our schedule in a certain way and a routine in a certain way, and we like things in a certain way, and we're trying so hard to plan for all the contingencies. Some of you are like me, you have a plan, and then you have your backup plan, and you're trying to figure out, well, what's further on down the road? And for those of you who are fathers or parents, you're looking ahead and trying to discipline your children to make sure that they understand that it's not just about the here and now, but there's a whole bunch of things in the future that you need to prepare yourself for. And that's why. But here's the problem. When we expend a lot of our time and energy so hard to try to control our lives, the problem is that circumstances have a tendency to kind of wrest control out of us. Often takes it out of our own hands. And if we're going to continue on in new journeys and new paths, the only way to successfully navigate these circumstances and remain true to whatever new calling, whatever new season Jesus is bringing you into, is to stay focused. And Jesus says, follow me. And so as we move forward into new seasons, the first thing we need to deal with is surrendering our right to control. Surrendering our right to control. It's kind of like, for those of you who are runners, I was just talking to Todd this morning, and he was telling me about nice hikes he went on. And I know he used to be a runner as well. And for myself, you know, I'm not particularly good at a lot of sports. And so, you know, I'm trying to think, well, if I can't play football, can't play basketball, I'm, you know, that well, at least I can move my feet. I know how to do that sometimes. And then, but, you know, that's a good way at least to get some exercise. And to be honest, I haven't run in quite some time. But I do, and you all understand what it looks like to run. And imagine, if you would, that you're a runner and you have a goal that you're trying to reach. You're going to maybe run this morning. Maybe you got up this early this morning. You're going to run from your house down maybe 2 miles and then back. And that's your goal this morning. But oftentimes, for many of us, this is what it looks like when we are dealing with issues of control in our lives or circumstances that move us out of our control. Like a runner who thinks that the road ahead is going to be straight. When we actually see the road, has a lot of twists and turns that we weren't anticipating. Those are like the circumstances around us. Now the problem is, you can't force the road to become straight if it's not. You have to follow the bumps and the curves that are thrown at you, or else you're going to lose sight of your path, of where you're trying to go. If you just try to run straight and the path curves off to the left or to the right, you can't just keep running there and make your destination. That's not the way it works. What Jesus says is, we need to surrender our right to control the path. Walk in my footsteps so that you can keep your eyes on the road ahead. And so I want you to ask yourself a couple questions this morning. Are you willing to follow Jesus into a new season of your life when there are unplanned bumps and curves along this new road? Are you willing to follow even when you don't know where he's leading? Are you willing to follow when things are out of your control? Are you willing to be led where you do not want to go? So the first issue that Jesus calls us to surrender, just like Peter, is, are you willing to surrender control if you're going to walk through new seasons? And in verse 19, Jesus goes on to reveal something else to Peter. It's not only dealing with the pain of yesterday's issues in the midst of life changes, in verses 15 through 17, but also dealing with tomorrow's obstacles as you continue down this hard new road. You see, Peter is going to have some spectacular moments after Jesus ascends back into heaven. He's given this new calling, this new season, feed my sheep, and so Peter takes that up after Jesus leaves. You might remember in Acts chapter 2 that he preaches to thousands of people, and 3,000 accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior that day. In Acts chapter 10, he's the first to recognize that Jesus' mercy isn't just for the Jewish people, but it's for everybody, for the whole non-Jewish world as well. And so he's a pioneer. He lives up to his new calling to feed Jesus' sheep and to follow him in discipleship and later in death. when he's martyred, as Jesus foretold in verse 19. That this whole thing about when you're old and you're going to stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and you'll be led where you do not want to go. It foretells Peter's death. And as a mature Christian, 30 years later, we find that Peter no longer runs away at the first hint of trouble, at the first hint of pain. Let me flip to a parallel passage, not a parallel passage, a later passage. 30 years later, Peter writes this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. He says, "I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ had made clear to me." 30 years later, as he's writing this letter as a mature Christian, he's no longer running from the pain that is coming down the path. He'll be arrested and executed for his faith and his love and his friendship with Christ. He's going to stretch out his hand and be dressed and led where he does not want to go. But what Jesus is doing here, back in John chapter 21, is that he's helping Peter deal with the issue of fear, a fear of suffering, a fear of discomfort, a fear of inconvenience. And I know for many of us, that's how it is with us as well. That as we are called into new seasons, maybe new changes in our lives, that it's hard for us because we're afraid of some of the inconveniences that might mess up our plans or our hopes and our desires. We're fearful that God won't give us the very best. We're second-guessing God as if what he's going to give isn't as good as what we have in mind. We're afraid of the trouble it might cause or the hardship it might cause. And it's daunting knowing that we will encounter hardship ahead in this journey down new roads. And so the tendency in us is to shy away from discomfort and hardship because there's danger and there's risk involved in following Christ down paths of change. For some of you, maybe as you are preparing to enter a new season in your life, you find that money is tight in your home and in your family. Or maybe the person that you love the most is the one who hurts you the most. Or for many of us, as we kind of deal with just the daily grind of life, there's always little things that keep coming up, little distractions, little heartaches, and little headaches that harm us. These hardships. And for some of us, even, maybe you wake up one morning and you've gone to the doctor's office and that ache in your tummy turns out to be a tumor, the doctor says. Life is full of hardship. And Jesus warns Peter, it's going to be hard at times. But you know, if we were just to leave it at that, then Jesus would be doing Peter a disservice. And so what he says to him is, yes, there's going to be hardship, but don't fix your eyes on that. Don't fix your eyes on the hardship. If you're walking down this path because this is a distraction, but instead, fix your eyes on me and follow me. I am your hope and your goal. Jesus gently beckons to Peter. There's these things I'm warning you that are coming ahead, and it's going to hurt. There are bumps in the road. They're pretty hard and heavy, but don't fix your eyes on that. Keep your eyes straight and follow me. Even in the face of discomfort, in the face of hardship, surrender your right to run from it. Surrender your right to pursue comfort in your life. Instead, walk in step with me. Now, I don't want to minimize if you're going through a difficult time in your life or if you're about to encounter something difficult. Some of us in this room are suffering right now as you go through change, and maybe all of us in this room are going to face some sort of suffering or hardship as we go into new seasons. Let's fast forward for a moment to words of encouragement. Peter has just heard in John 21 this prediction of his suffering and his death as he pursues new roads. But we fast forward again 30 years to 1 Peter chapter 5, and this is what he has to say to us after 30 years of experiencing hardship and right before he's about to be arrested and executed. This is what Peter says to his fellow younger brethren. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. Resist him, talking about the devil, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, after you've suffered a little while, will restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. You see, there's no running away from hardships that come in the road, but speaking with the wisdom of experience and maturity, 30 years later, Peter's able to look back on all the hardships and even look forward to the death that Jesus predicted for him and tell us, yes, it's going to be hard, but it's just for a little while. That suffering you're about to go through or that you are going through now is temporary. And there's a great loving God whom we follow, this Jesus, who will restore us. If not now, then even after death, your story is not over. His encouragement to us is that the suffering you go through is temporary, and Jesus will restore us. And he speaks with the knowledge and the authority of someone firsthand who's experiencing hardship and suffering, that this is not the end of the road. And so what I want you to picture in your mind is, once again, let's move back to that running illustration, that like a runner who's running this race, maybe you're jogging down the path, and then suddenly you experience a searing leg cramp. I don't know if you've ever had that before. I tend to cramp up pretty easily because I always forget to stretch beforehand. But when you have a leg cramp, it just seizes up your muscle and knots up like a rock. And you find that you can't run forward and move forward anymore. And what Jesus tells us is, yes, those leg cramps will come as you're walking down this new road. And it's okay to stop. It's okay to stretch it out or have your running buddy Jesus maybe carry you on his shoulders for a while. But don't give up the race. That cramp that you're experiencing is temporary. So for you and I, as Jesus leads us through seasons of change and transition in your own life, what temporary difficulties, what temporary discomfort and suffering lies ahead that you're afraid of? As you run this new race, don't give up because of a leg cramp, because that cramp is temporary. And Jesus asks us to surrender our right to pursue comfort and to fear discomfort, to keep our eyes fixed on him, our future and our hope, and not fixing our eyes on the temporary hardships that are to come. Lastly, not only are we supposed to surrender our right to control and our right to comfort, but Jesus also asks us to surrender our right to comparison. Now I want you to imagine in verse 20 what Peter and Jesus are talking. They're having this intense discussion about suffering that Peter's about to encounter, you know, as he moves forward into new seasons of life and following Jesus. And then Peter can't help but notice in verse 21 that there's a guy following them. That's John again, following a little ways off. And while Peter is sitting there stewing on this anxious thought about the future and about the suffering that he's going to experience, he asks Jesus, well, what about that guy? You know, is he going to get some of that bad stuff too, you know? And as we are confronted with the reality, as the road gets tough, it unveils another tendency that you and I tend to have as well, just like Peter, an issue of comparison. You see, it's always easy, like for many of us who sit here on Sunday mornings, week in, week out, that it's easy as we're listening to something, maybe we're hearing the word of God or maybe God is speaking to us about something. It's easy to consider how that applies to somebody else. Like, oh, I wish Betty was here this morning so that she could hear. That would be such a word for her to correct her and rebuke her, you know. And we try to apply it to other people because we like to compare. Or maybe as we're talking about things or as we're thinking about our own lives, we wallow in the unfairness of my lot in life compared to somebody else. We love to compare our lives with other people and compare ourselves, our journeys, against other people. And Jesus responds in verse 22, don't worry about his path, Peter. You must follow me. You see, when change and growth happens in our lives, the tendency is to start looking around at other people around us, to compare, to wonder why God, would you choose this tough road for me and not this other person? The tendency is to compare our hardships and our journey with other people. And there's a couple of things I want you to think about. First of all, you don't know. You don't know what other people are going through. You don't know what kind of hardships that they're going through in their private lives. You don't know what kind of rocky roads are ahead for them as well. So don't presume that you can compare your lot to theirs and think that yours is worse off. You don't know And secondly, we forget sometimes that there's a tendency to kind of want everybody to have a level playing field and that all of us should, well, experience the same amount of blessing and all of us should experience the same amount of hardship, but we forget something, that each of us is unique. I don't know about you, but you know, for myself, that I have kind of a more stubborn personality and I tend to be a little bit more thick-headed about things and slow to pick up on stuff. And so for me, my journey must be different than yours. My needs, as far as following Christ, as far as entering into a season of change, the requirements that I have for my road are different than yours. And so sometimes I might have hardships that you don't have, and you may have hardships that I don't have, because our journeys are unique, because each of us is different and unique. And so the way that God works it out is that He tailor-makes these paths for our lives, tailor-made to our uniqueness. And so when we get caught up in equity and fairness and we lose sight of what's important, that in the midst of growth and change and hardships that come with it, that Jesus wants us to take our eyes off of other people and keep them fixed on Him. Follow me. So as we move forward, we need to also surrender our right to comparison. Again, it's like somebody running a race. You're running this morning. And here's the tendency, the human nature of us, that maybe somebody who's younger and faster kind of pulls up alongside you. They have better shoes than you. Those are like, you know, $200 running shoes. And you're looking at your ratty $20 shoes that you got from Payless that are falling apart that you've been running in for the past 25 years. And the tendency in us is to kind of stare at that other guy's better running shoes and be like, man, I'd run just as fast if I had that guy's shoes. And what Jesus says is that we need to stop staring at that fellow runner's better shoes and instead keep your eyes fixed on the road and on the goal. Because when you don't look forward and you take your eyes off the goal, it's easy to get derailed. I mean, I try to imagine yourself running alongside somebody and all you're doing is looking at their shoes and then you realize after a while that you're no longer running the path that you were trying to go. You're going down his path instead. And it doesn't take you where you want to go. How are you being distracted this morning by other people's shoes? How are you comparing your circumstances with other people? Happy Father's Day, fathers. For myself, many of you know that if you've been a family here at church for a long time, you'll hear sometimes some of the older families, the founding families, will mention that I grew up in this church. But many of you who have heard my testimony know that I didn't accept Christ until I was 19. Let me give you a little bit of background why. When I was 9 years old, I was packed off to New Jersey with my brother for a summer to spend time with my cousin. And we didn't know at the time that my father was suffering. He was quite ill. He came, I think, as he kind of reached the end of his road, he was flown up from Florida to New Jersey. We lived in Florida. And he was so ill at the time, he could barely carry on a conversation. His hair was falling out. He was suffering from the after effects of chemotherapy. And he was slowly dying from liver cancer as it was eating away at him from the inside out. And for myself, when I saw him waste away, and he passed away June 24th, 1981, and one of my issues with God was, if there really is a God, then he must be really cruel and hateful to take away a father from a 9-year-old boy. And so I carried this chip on my shoulder, and I was an atheist for many years, even though I was forced to go to church for many years. I didn't listen to anything that was taught to me in church, and I eventually dropped out when I was given that right to choose for myself. But what I found was that suffering that was hindering me from following Christ was not the end of my story either. And so as I met Christ again at the age of 19 when I was a sophomore in college, God brought me to my knees because I found that the things that I wanted to have control of in life, I couldn't. I found that as much as I wanted to be self-centered and make life all about me and my comfort, that circumstances would rip that comfort out of my life. And I have to face discomfort and suffering. I found that no matter how much I looked at other people's lot, and sometimes it seemed so much better than mine, that comparing myself against others didn't fix my problems either. And so as I surrendered control and comfort and comparison and met Jesus at the feet of his cross, it changed my whole life and it turned me around. But here's the thing. That suffering that I endured as a child, God wanted to take it, take that ugly scar tissue and start cleaning it up and transform it into something beautiful. To take something out of the ashes and make it into something beautiful. I found that that self-centeredness and that scar tissue that I had in my heart from losing my father at a young age turned into a soft heart as Jesus transformed and met me. And I found that God had given me a particular burden, a particular soft heart for those who were fatherless, whether by death or by divorce. And God gave me the privilege of starting to serve in this church's youth ministry for many years, and a special burden for those who have fathers who are absent or gone. And seeing how God can take something so ugly in suffering and transform it into something that's beautiful. But that only happens when we follow Jesus. It's easy to get derailed off the new path that God is calling us to. And so the question I want you to wrestle with this morning before the throne of Christ is, what do I need to surrender this morning? What's distracting you or hindering you from entering new areas of change in your life? Jesus warns Peter about the allure of control, of comfort, and of comparison as we travel down this road into new seasons. And it grows difficult, this road. But if you and I want to move forward, Jesus calls us to surrender our rights to determine our own path, to keep our eyes fixed on him, to walk in step with him. Jesus says, follow me. Let's pray. God, our Father, we need you to help us this morning. All of us are going through some sort of change in our lives, or have changes right around the corner that maybe we weren't expecting. And we don't want just a simplistic system of beliefs or simple churchy answers to our problems. What we need from you, God, is to teach us what it looks like to move forward. And we're scared, if we're honest. We're scared of the hardship, maybe not even scared for ourselves, scared of the people we love around us who will be affected by the hardships that come with change. God, would you help us to surrender this morning, to bow at your feet, to lay all of those things that we are trying to hold on to, that these obstacles, to lay them at your altar and instead accept the freedom to experience change with you. Would you give us courage as you strengthen us, and move us forward into new seasons. In Jesus' name we pray.